I never thought I'd be a special report, but here I am. Well, some of you don't know me, but I'm Cecilia Stone, and I'm on the leadership team, and I was asked to share about angels, and wow, what a topic, huh? And many of us have had many questions about them, and I thought, well, maybe we can relate to some of my experiences with angels. And when I was growing up, I had this picture in my room. The guardian angel, children. And I grew up with that. So the question comes up, do we have guardian angels? Then also, sometimes during Christmas, there's another picture that comes up of cherubim. And who are they and what do they do? And are they real? But also, we have another thing that happens. Hollywood gives us different images of what angels are about. So look at this one.
What's that?
That's a Christmas present from a very dear friend of mine.
Look, Daddy, teacher says every time a bell rings, an angel gets his wings.
That's right. That's right. Attaboy, Clarence.
So there we are. We have all these thoughts about what angels are and questions about them. But with today, what I want to do is I want to talk about what are they, who are they, and what difference do they do in our lives. So the definition that scholars have for angels is they are created spiritual beings with moral judgment and high intelligence, but without physical bodies. Pretty interesting. But angels didn't always exist. They were part of the universe that God created. So in Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So we didn't have angels before then. And we don't have a full picture of what really happened, or a timeline of what happened, because we know that they were created. The heavens, the earth, were finished, and all the host of them, Genesis 2:1. Even more explicit is this statement. In the 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day, Exodus 20:11. Therefore, all angels were created at least by the sixth day of creation. So because we don't have a really fine timeline of what happened, we know that sometime between the time they were created and the time that Satan tempted Eve in the garden, Genesis 3:1, a number of angels rebelled against God. And that would be 2 Peter 2:4 or Jude 6. The event occurred apparently after the sixth day because God said and saw that everything was good. But Scripture doesn't tell us any more than that. So we kind of have to know that something happened there, and we know that there were some angels that fell, that were bound and sent, and then God created what we call hell for those angels. So we know, too, that there are secrets that belong to the Lord, our God, but the things that are revealed belong to us and to our children forever, and we may do all of the words by his law. So it's Deuteronomy 29. So what does that say? We know then by Scripture that there are heavenly bodies, that there are bodies that can be seen and unseen. For sometimes when you think about angels, you think about those, also the ones that appeared to Mary, appeared to Joseph, and appeared many times throughout Scripture. But not many times do we hear about it today. And so we ask, do angels still exist? There were three other types of creatures or spiritual beings that were created. There were the cherubim, which is sort of like the angel that you saw after the guardian angel. And I'll tell you what his task is. His task was to guard the entrance to the Garden of Eden. That was so we wouldn't go back in. And God himself is frequently said to him, he is enthroned on the cherubim or to travel with the cherubim as his chariots. So that's Psalm 18:10. And at times, they are the only angels that are talked about that have wings. None of the other angels are talked about as having wings. So I think that's kind of interesting. The seraphim, that's the other kind. Another group of heavenly beings are mentioned in Isaiah 6:2-7. We're commonly worshiping God, and they call to one another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Isaiah 6:3. So their job was to just to be praying for God. There is one more, which I really didn't know about. The living creatures, as both in Isaiah or Ezekiel and Revelation tell us. These living creatures live around and stay around God's throne, where their appearances are like a lion, an ox, a man, or an eagle. So they're around his throne. They are the mightiest representatives of various parts of God's entire creation. And they worship God continually. Day and night, they never cease to sing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come," in Revelation 4:8. So we have four celestial beings, and they have specific jobs. So some characteristics of an angel is that they can only be at one place or another. They're not like God, who is omnipresent and who can be in many, many places. They don't have ordinary physical bodies because they're spirits or spiritual creatures, and they do not ordinarily, and they can't always be seen unless God has given us the eyes to see them. But their jobs are to be guarding and protecting and joining us in worship to God. They are invisible, but sometimes we can see them. Such as, I love the time of Christmas when we're told that Mary had an angel come and speak with her that she would have a son. Or Joseph, who said, "You are to marry her and take her and be her husband." Or also, could you imagine being on the hillside when the shepherds saw all the multitude of angels proclaiming the Christ birth? How amazing would that be to see that, to be involved with that? We don't know how many angels there are. That's the other thing. We don't know. Scripture doesn't really give us a number, but we know that they were created by God. And we know that they were created in great numbers. We read that God on Mount Zion came from tens of thousands of holy ones with flaming fire at his right hand. Deuteronomy 33:2. We also learn that he has chariots, tens of thousands, and thousands upon thousands. So when we come to worship, we come into the presence of innumerable angels, Hebrews 12:22. So think, when we're here, we are in the presence of angels as they are worshiping our God. They are worshiping with us, and we're not alone. And that is an amazing thing, because many of us don't think that angels are here today. In Revelation 5:11, it's one of the scripture verses that I gave you, it says, where John says, "I heard around the throne and the living creatures and the elders the voice of many angels, numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands." So again, this expression says that there was an amazing number, far more than we could even comprehend. You know, most of us are black and white thinkers. We just think in small numbers, because we don't have the total concept of what God can really be like, and we want to know that. There's a couple of things about them, is that they don't marry, and they're very powerful. There's only two angels in all of Scripture that are named. Can you think of what their names are? There's Michael and Gabriel. Michael sometimes is called the archangel, and he is sort of like the head honcho, you know? He's sort of in charge of all the angels, is sort of what they say. Now, he is also a messenger, but he also is the one that would do the fighting in the unseen world. Now, the angel Gabriel is mentioned in Daniel 8:18-9, and he was the messenger that went in and said to both Zechariah and Mary, and he saw them. He says, I am the angel, I am Gabriel, who stands in the presence of God. And in Luke 1:26, he said, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin, and the virgin's name was Mary. So only two of all the angels have been named, and maybe Satan, I guess. I guess that would be a third, but he's not part of God's good angels. So two questions, and one that came up in the picture was, do people have individual guardian angels? It's clear in Scripture that God says he sends, that it says that he sends us angels to protect us. But it's not clear whether he says he gives one to each one of us. It's more like they're in the area where we're at, like a zone defense, he said. And I'm going like, so if I'm in this zone, you know, there's an angel here. But if I step out of that zone, maybe there isn't. So maybe when I'm walking with the Lord, the angel is there with me and is protecting me. And maybe when I don't, maybe their angel isn't really there. So it's kind of there for us to kind of interpret. But it says, he will give his angels charge of you to guard you in all your ways. And on their hands they will bear up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Psalms 91, 11 through 12. But also, the picture of the guardian angel with children, you think about that, and you go, well, what does that mean? Do children have them? And there's a support for that that says that Jesus, of course, loved his children, loved the little children, and he wanted them close too. So in heaven, their angels always behold the face of the Father who's in heaven. So they're special angels for them. However, our Lord may simply be saying that angels are assigned to the task of protecting little children. So there might be that. And then when we die, do we become angels? That was another question. But sometimes. It is clear that God created two separate beings. He created angels and he created humans. He never intended to reconcile with the angels. That's never to happen for those angels that went against him. But for us, he set up a whole plan of salvation that he is planning to reconcile with us, to have us come and be with him in heaven. There is a whole plan for that. And we were created in his image. Angels weren't. So there's a difference between that. It says that we will have a celestial body where we won't feel pain. And I'm going, I can't wait to get there. But, so we're different. We're not the same as angels. Many of us think, oh, you are such an angel. Because angels appear and they're good and they're loving and they do what God wills them to do. And we think, yeah. A while back when Tim and I were not Christians yet, and I was going to a 12-step group, and I met this woman, and she was talking about this church. And I thought, oh, okay. So I asked her. She says, I'll meet you on Sunday, and I'll introduce you to this church that meets out in the warehouse, and I'll introduce you. I said, okay, fine. We went. I never saw her again. And for years, Tim and I said, she must have been an angel. Oh, and Tim's my husband, by the way. And so for years, we never knew what happened to her. And we thought, she must have been an angel. Because she made such a difference in our lives by bringing us to a church where we could accept Christ. I did meet her many years later. But again, she disappeared. So anyway, but I thought she was an angel because she did the very thing that I needed at the time. So sometimes when we say to people, you're like an angel, it's because a person has done something for us. But there are those stories that say people come, will pray, will support, will encourage, and then you never see them again, for real. There's stories like that. So we never know when we're going to entertain angels. We never know when somebody will come and help us, encourage us, and be with us. But we don't become angels ourselves when we die. There's reasons why we want to pay attention to angels, and it's because angels show the greatness of God and his love for us. They are highly intelligent, and they understand much about what God's plan is for us and his love for us. And they really are happy when we come alongside and we accept the Holy Spirit into our lives. Angels remind us of the unseen world, that it is really real, that there is a battle going on. God is taking care of that. That there is no resurrection, no angel, nor spirit. So it's the Sadducees in Jesus' day used to say that. So there are people who say that today. And we have to kind of be reminded that's not true. Our biblical teaching says that they do exist. And there's a constant reminder. Angels are an example for us. In both their obedience and their worship, angels provide helpful examples for us to imitate. Jesus teaches us to pray, your will be done on earth as it is. In heaven, God's will is done by angels, immediately, joyfully, and without question. Some of us don't do that. But that is the example for us to be doing that. When we hear what the Lord wants us to do, when we know from right and wrong, and he says, we're to do that immediately, joyfully, and without question. And God's angels carry out some of his plans. So if you see scripture, it says angels are his servants. They bring messages, as I said, to Mary, to Joseph, and to many others that he did. And even when Peter was in prison, an angel came and took him out of prison. Angels directly glorify God. They minister directly to him. Remember, after he had been tempted for 40 days, he was taken under a tree and he was ministered by angels. So they minister to him. They glorify him. So in addition to helping us, they are one of the most helpful people that there can be. Angels glorify God for who he is himself and his excellence. Bless the Lord, O you angels, you mighty ones who do his word, hearkening to the voice of the Lord. The seraphim continually praise God for his holiness, as do the other living creatures. Angels also glorify God for his great plan of salvation. Again, they are excited about the salvation plan, that we as humans, born in his image, have a plan to come to him. And again, the reason to be aware of angels in our daily lives is to make clear that God wants us to be aware that there is another life, that this isn't our home. that there is a place for us to be. There's a lot of things about angels. When we come before God in worship, we are joining again the believers who died and come into God's presence in heaven. The Spirit, just men made perfect. This is really interesting, and it kind of made me think twice, maybe three times. It says, we should be aware that angels are watching how obedient and disobedient we are. I thought, well, okay. So, they're kind of God's representatives throughout the world. So even if we think our sin is being done in secret, it brings, and it's not going to hurt anybody else, we should be sobered by the thought that perhaps even hundreds of angels witness our disobedience and are grieved. I never thought about that. On the other hand, when we are discouraged and think that our faithful obedience to God is witnessed by no one, then we can think about how encouraging it is that hundreds of thousands of angels are seeing that we are obedient to God. There's also the fact that these angels protect us. How many times have you gone into an intersection and almost crossed it and didn't, and somebody flew through? This happened the other day for me, and I couldn't figure out why the car wouldn't go. Because, you know, normally I'm very cautious now because I see a lot of that happening, and I just kind of, but the car didn't move. And this guy came flying through. So for that time period, there was somebody protecting me. There's also a thing that we need to be cautious about with angels, and it's receiving false doctrine. When you think that you have somebody coming to you that might be look like an angel, feel like an angel, and you think that you know an angel because maybe you just heard a sermon, I don't know. But anyway, you know, there is a time when maybe you're giving some sort of direction and you kind of think, oh, that sounds good. But always look to Scripture. Have that be your cornerstone. Have that be your root of what you from where you go. Because the Bible warns us of receiving false doctrine from supposed angels. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to which we preached to you, let him be accursed. Galatians 1 through 8. So Paul is making this warning because it happened in Colossians at that time period. People were accepting things that weren't true. And they said, we have not taught that. So always compare things to what Scripture has to say. The other caution it says, do not worship angels. Do not pray to them or do not seek them. Because we, as followers of Christ, are to pray to Jesus. We can ask, give us a hedge of protection, which in that some sense, give us angels protecting us. But we are praying to Jesus, our Savior. And he is the one that takes the message to God, the Father, who then disperses his angels. So don't fall into seeking angels or praying to them or worshiping them. I think that there's a whole concept of angels that just continues to be there. And for us to consider that there is a spiritual life that we don't see. Whether we want to see it or not, you know, God will determine that. But bringing it on home for us, angels can make take different forms. They can be seen, they can be unseen. We don't become angels when we die. They were created by God for his purpose, to deliver his messages, to protect, and to fight the unseen wars. You know, recently there was this royal wedding, you know, with Prince William and Kate. And the Westminster Abbey was just gorgeous. And I don't know what you think about that. I don't know how many of you got up early to see that. But there was, at one point, there was a view from the top, from the very, very top of Westminster Abbey. And I saw that and I thought, wow, what grandeur, what beauty. And then you heard the herald trumpets ringing, and you heard the choir singing, and there were people all over. And I thought, wow, I wonder if this is what heaven could be like, to think of us looking to our right and seeing someone we love, looking to our left, seeing someone we love, looking all around us and knowing and seeing people, and being there singing. And in front of the throne is God, the Father. Sitting next to him is Jesus, the Son. And we're singing, and we're singing, and praising him. And down walks his church, the bride. Beautiful and wonderful. And I think, what an amazing place that will be. That we would be there with the angels singing and saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is and forever shall be. To be in that place, to have those that we love, to be always worshiping, always being in the presence. We sometimes get that glimpse when we're here on earth, where we can spend the time, we take the time to be worshiping, to be singing, to be praying. And sometimes we work so hard to bring the people that we love into our church, into knowing who Christ is, who Christ that loved us and died for us. And it's so amazing that that should happen. And we have the angels to protect us, the angels to bring messages, and we are so fortunate. So fortunate that God loved us so much that he gave this a salvation plan for us as we were made in his image. How amazing is that? Let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for what you are doing in our lives, for what you have brought to us. We thank you, Lord, that you have loved us so much that you gave your Son. And Lord, in all this, we thank you that you are with us, with the angels, and that you are providing for us in all these things. Amen.